ring around my finger. Lucky me.
City of Goleta Planning Commission meeting for Monday, August 22nd, 2011. Just want to mention that this is being broadcast live on Goleta Channel 19 and that all the information is available on the City of Goleta website as well. I will now call this meeting to order, and let us please start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Commissioner Solomon is absent. Commissioner Stapleman?
Present.
Commissioner West? Vice Chair Wallace? Chair Sheeler?
Present. Okay, we always begin with the public forum, which is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the City of Goleta Planning Commission on an item that is not on this evening's agenda. Do we have any speaker slips, Madam Clerk?
No, Chair Sheeler.
Okay, we have no speakers, and so there will not be any comment through the public forum. Ms. Wells, are there any amendments or adjustments to this evening's agenda?
No.
Okay. Well, our first agenda item is the Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting back in June 13, 2011. The recommendation is to approve the Planning Commission minutes for that meeting. Any discussion of the minutes to start with? Any discussion? No? Okay. Would we have a motion for approval?
I move to approve.
Approved by Commissioner Stapleman. A second, please. Second.
Second.
Commissioner Wallace, thank you. Any further discussion? No discussion. Okay, let us vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. Thank you. Okay, we're now going to move to our public hearing portion of our agenda. And will the clerk please read agenda item B into the record?
Agenda item B1 is a public hearing, item 09-088-DP-CUP, Elwood Pipeline Incorporated, Line 96 Modification Project, U.S. Highway 101 right-of-way, Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way, Hollister Avenue right-of-way, located at 7925 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-059, and 7979 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-042.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Let's start with declarations. Any declarations, please? Commissioner Stapleman?
Yes, I met with the applicant and I did a site visit.
I met with Mr. Gregg, the applicant here.
Okay. Commissioner West?
Yes, I also met with the applicant and did a site visit.
And same with me. I met with the applicant and did a site visit. Okay, we're ready for the staff presentation. Ms. Wells or Mrs. Vilk, who would like to start?
I'll start.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Chair Sheeler and commissioners. The project before you tonight is a significant permitting step in the termination of marine barging. If the Planning Commission takes the recommended action, part of which includes approving permits for an onshore oil pipeline, marine barging of oil to coastal refineries to the north and south of Santa Barbara will cease to occur. Laura Velk is our associate planner in the Advanced Planning Division, and she'll provide you with a presentation and give you some more details about the project. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Velk, good evening.
Good evening, Chair Sheeler, members of the Commission. As Ann mentioned, the project before you tonight is the Line 96 Modification Project. I'll just get started right away in the presentation. The first slide is an overview of the South Elwood Field. I wanted to give you this overview so you get a broad idea of how this operation currently works and how the proposed project would change that. So, as you can see out off our coast here is Platform Holly. Venico operates that platform, produces oil and gas, and there are offshore pipelines that bring that onshore to the Elwood onshore facility here in Goleta. There's also seep tents offshore, which are, that collect natural gas, and there's also pipelines that connect into the EOF for processing of that gas. The yellow line here is the existing Line 96 that takes the oil from the Elwood Onshore facility and transports it to over here to the Elwood Marine Terminal. The Elwood Marine Terminal is actually in the County of Santa Barbara's jurisdiction. This is an oil storage facility, and the offshore portion of this facility is where the barging occurs. And here's just a picture of Platform Holly. This is a small diagram of the seep tents that are also offshore that collect natural gas. Here's a pipeline diagram for both of these offshore facilities. This is a aerial photo of the Elwood Onshore facility. And again, here's the existing Line 96, Elwood Marine Terminal. And here's a picture of the barge offshore. That is the Olympic Spirit. It's a double hull barge as required by State Lands Commission. This is a photo of the two piers located off of our coast beneath Sandpiper Golf Course. We refer to them as PRC 421 piers. And these piers are currently shut in. They have been since 1994. A brief history of Elwood, the Elwood Field, is EOF and Holly were built between 1965 and 1967 by ARCO and Mobil. Santa Barbara County adopted the South Coast Consolidation Policies in 1987, and what this did was rezoned a bunch of oil and gas facilities in the county, and the city of Goleta was not incorporated yet, so that included everything in the city, currently what is the city. And the EOF and Elwood Marine Terminal were rezoned. EOF was rezoned to recreation. And in 1993, Mobil took over the Holly EOF operations. Venico took over all of the operations in 1997. And upon city incorporation in 2002, we inherited jurisdiction of the EOF in concert with California Coastal Commission. And we did keep the recreation zoning designation upon incorporation. The proposed project is, as Ann mentioned, a development plan for the installation of an onshore pipeline. The entire pipeline is about 8.5 miles. It's a 6-inch diameter pipe. About 585 feet of it will be in the city. And we're also processing a major conditional use permit as the installation and operation of the pipeline will occur in environmentally sensitive habitat area buffer, which is the buffer of Bell Creek Corridor. There are some related projects that to the Line 96 project I want to just give you a quick overview of to help give you a little perspective. The EMT lease renewal project received approval from California State Lands Commission, and that required this lease actually will expire. The offshore portion of that lease will expire in 2013, which requires an alternate mode of oil transportation upon that expiration. The full field development project was actually withdrawn by Venico in 2010. The relevance of that project, it requested extended reach drilling from Platform Holly and a new pipeline. And the new pipeline that was identified as the environmentally superior alternative in that EIR is the pipeline that is proposed as a part of this project. And lastly, we have the PRC 421 recommissioning project. Venico proposes to recommission both of the wells on the beach. One would be an oil, one would be a water well. And that's just for background. This is a vicinity map of the project in its entirety. And the jurisdiction, the project requires approval from the County of Santa Barbara, the lead agency. They received that approval on August 3rd. We are a responsible agency, and you are the decision makers for the city on this project. And after any approvals from us, the project requires approval from California Coastal Commission for portions of the project within the city. And the California State Lands Commission participated in review of the environmental document as a trustee agency, but they do not require any permits for the project. And this is a city-specific map. This is what you will be considering today. The dark line is the proposed pipeline within the city. This is the existing pipeline that is conditioned to be abandoned. This is a site plan that you have in your packet with some engineering drawings and a bit of detail of how the horizontal directional drill will occur. This over here is a property within the county of Santa Barbara where the bore will start. It will go under the 101, the railroad, the Hollister Avenue right-of-way, and will pop up in the city, actually in Hollister Avenue right-of-way, right in front of the Elwood Onshore Facility, as shown here. So before we get into technical details and the environmental review, I wanted to give you a quick pictorial of some of the technical terms that we're going to be using. One of them is a frack out. A frack out occurs during a horizontal directional drill, and essentially the drilling muds release up, and that's kind of what it looks like at the surface. Venico staff was nice enough to provide us with pictures of the pigs that they have at the facility right now. But in reality, these are the real pigs. We have a smart pig, which we also refer to as an inspection pig. It runs through the pipeline and detects cracks, leaks, other things like that. There's a cleaning pig that does what it just self-explanatory. It cleans the pipeline. And then there are pig launchers and pig receivers. You'll have a pig launcher at the start of a pipeline and a pig receiver at the end. And as the diagram on top, obviously, is just a generalized diagram of a typical pig launcher. And the photo at the bottom is a picture from the Elwood Onshore Facility, and that is a pig receiver. There's leak detection. This is a screenshot of the existing system used for Elwood Field Operations. The SCADA, or Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition System, gathers data from remote points along the pipeline and for maintaining pipeline automatic controls and safety systems. It monitors flow, pressure, temperature, pump status, and other variables. The system is programmed to activate an alarm, trigger operator shutdown, and automatically shut down the pipeline depending on the severity of deviation from preset operating parameters. And the proposed pipeline will be continuously monitored 24 hours per day by both Venico staff at the EOF and Plains Pipeline Control Center in Houston. There are a couple valves that we'll be talking about, block valves, check valves. There'll be a mainline block valve at the EOF and at the end of the pipeline at the tie-in point. As you can see in this diagram, I like this diagram a lot because it shows you really clearly what happens. Basically, the valve kind of goes down and stops flow. So it reduces the severity of a spill or the amount of oil that would be released. A check valve is similar, and one will be located on the west side of Bell Creek, and this prevents backflow in the event of a shutdown. So a little environmental review overview. The draft EIR was released by the county on March 18th for a 30-day public review. The county certified the final EIR on August 3rd. The County Planning Commission also adopted a statement of overriding considerations. And today, you will have to make CEQA findings, including a statement of overriding considerations, if you approve the project. significant environmental impacts that were identified in the EIR or identified in the hazard and hazardous materials, hydrology, water resources, biological resources, land use planning and recreation sections. And all of these significant environmental impacts were related to the potential of an oil spill from the pipeline. Even though the severity of an oil spill would be reduced as this pipeline would allow for the cessation of marine barging, the fact that there is still a potential for an oil spill results in a significant impact. Some mitigation measures that were included in the EIR in an attempt to mitigate these impacts are the automated mainline block valves, additional check valves. There's a requirement for a stormwater pollution prevention plan, updating of the existing oil spill contingency plan, and relocating the PIG launcher the maximum feasible distance from the Bell Creek corridor. Other potentially significant environmental impacts are Class II impacts were identified in geological resources, hydrology, biology, cultural, transportation noise, aesthetics, and visual resources. And these impacts were successfully mitigated. General plan and our coastal land use plan consistency. Staff has found the project to be consistent with all applicable policies. Some highlights come from our land use element. As you all know, the Elwood Onshore facility is designated as open space active recreation. This project will not prolong the life of the EOF or conflict with the recreation designation. This project is an essential step to allowing the future decommissioning of barging, and it will reduce environmental impacts and hazards. As such, we found it consistent with the land use element. Conservation element. The portion of the project in the city is adjacent to the Bell Creek environmentally sensitive habitat corridor. We have many conditions of approval and mitigation measures that were identified in the EIR to reduce any potential impacts, including drainage and grading plans, stormwater management plan, and all these plans have to be submitted for review and approval to the city prior to final permit issuance. We also have limit construction activities to the dry season of the year unless there's an adequate erosion control plan as approved by our community services department. We also have the required installation of sediment fencing, again, updating of the oil spill contingency plan, and submittal and approval of a habitat protection plan. And we also required that we don't expect any impact to occur to the Bell Creek corridor. If one does, we have a condition that allows us to require a habitat restoration plan and associated maintenance and installation bonds, and we would oversee that process for 5 years. And in the safety element, again, as we already mentioned, the project will reduce environmental impacts and hazards as it will allow for decommissioning or ending of barging. And also, our conditions of approval require a updated quantitative risk assessment, which is a document that evaluates in detail potential risk from an upset of the pipeline. And we're requiring that before issuance of final permits. And lastly, again, with the going back to the general plan and the safety element, there are risks from the horizontal directional drilling and frack outs, so we will be approving a frack out contingency plan as well as other erosion control measures. We have geotechnical and seismic study results, and we have our building and safety division actively involved. For zoning ordinance consistency, again, we have a recreation zone district. With the location of the PIG launcher outside of the fence line of the EOF, the EOF facilities are not being changed in any way, with the exception of some communications equipment that are going to be installed within the existing facilities, and they're considered part of the pipeline as allowed by the zoning ordinance. And pipelines are allowed in any zone district in the city. And some of our zoning standards, development standards, specifically related to pipelines, are construction hours, and we've limited those to what is allowed in our general plan, with the exception of the horizontal directional drill. Once you start the drill, you can't stop it. So there will be some 24/7 construction. When that occurs, we'll have biological monitors on site at all times and any other necessary measures to ensure safety. Again, we're going to require a revegetation plan if it's found necessary. We have the shutoff valves, and we have requirements for spill containment and cleanup, and that will be through the oil spill contingency plan. So the summary is the project was defined as the environmentally superior alternative in the final EIR. It, again, will allow for the end of marine barging. It will lead to decommissioning and or abandonment, whatever we find appropriate through that permit process, of the existing Line 96. And it will reduce oil spill potential. We found the project consistent with our general plan and our zoning ordinance. Therefore, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt the findings, a mitigation monitoring and reporting program, and statement of overriding considerations. And we recommend that you approve the development plan and major conditional use permit. And that is the end of the staff presentation. If you have any questions, we're available.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Belk.
Thank you.
Planning commissioners, any questions of staff at this point?
Chair Sheeler, if you wouldn't mind, I just wanted to give a short conclusion to Laura's presentation. I just wanted to point out for you and for members in the audience and people watching that Attachment 3 of the staff report includes a series of maps that really kind of hone you in on the project components that are within the city of Goleta. And just to highlight that, it's a 585-foot horizontal directional drill, so most of the impacts are underground. The portion that's above ground is limited to the portion on the city's right-of-way outside the fence line. And that location where a new vault would occur is in the almost on top of, but adjacent to, the existing vault. So this pipeline would replace an already existing vault. It would be a little bit bigger because there's going to be additional activities within that vault, and the reason for those additional activities is because we're getting better safety on a newer pipeline versus the older pipeline, which doesn't have all the valve control, et cetera. And then there's a couple final drawings in Attachment 3 of the staff report that show the replacement systems or improved systems within the communication system at the Elwood Onshore facility, but that's the only thing that will be occurring within the Elwood Onshore facility. And that work window is relatively short for this project within that portion of the city of Goleta. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, commissioners, at this point? No questions? I actually did have maybe two follow-up questions here. Regarding the horizontal drilling, you indicated once it starts, it needs to continue until completion. How long is that expected to last? What would be maybe the duration of that?
We're expecting 3 to 5 days.
Okay. And just one other question. Maybe this is a process or procedural question. I noticed that in the materials it talked about a minor CUP as being part of this project. Is that true? And is do you know what that is? I know there's a major.
Chair Sheeler, that's a typo.
Okay.
It will be a major conditional
that's
use
what
permit.
I knew there was a major. I wasn't sure if there's a minor. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I'm now going to open the public hearing, and we will start with the applicant presentation, and that would be Mr. Gregg. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good evening. I am Steve Gregg, and I'm representing Elwood Pipeline, Inc. This evening. I wanted to just spend a few minutes. First of all, I want to give you a little bit of a history from kind of our process on this, and I think it's relevant only because of the timing that we're up against and what we'll be hearing about this evening. I thought your staff did a great job of kind of going through the explanation of the different facilities and the history of the project. In terms of this specific project, we submitted our application for the pipeline. We separated it from the full field project back in 2009. We submitted this application in March. It was deemed complete in August. And then it went for quite a while. And then ultimately, because of the delay in getting this pipeline through the process and a number of other things, Venneco made the decision to separate the two and pull the full field project kind of off the table. And I think that facilitated in moving the pipeline project through. And then ultimately, we received the draft EIR in March of this year. So about 2 years after we kind of made the decision that it was time to put in a pipeline. So with that in mind, we are now at what is a big day, and it's a big day for us because if we receive approval this evening, it will kind of continue to put us on schedule to end marine transportation of oil by next spring, which is a goal that I think we want and the community wants. I wanted to mention a couple things that the final EIR identifies a number of potential impacts and staff addressed those. That one of those potential impacts, Bio-01, replaces restrictions on construction from November 1st to June. The reason that's critical and the reason tonight's timing is critical is because we need to start construction on or about October 1st to finish the HDDs prior to that November 1st deadline. There are restrictions from the Fish and Game and on other permits that we're limited to doing those HDDs outside of the rainy season. So we are on schedule with approval this evening. Approval is scheduled with the Coastal Commission or hearing is scheduled with the Coastal Commission September 9th. Assuming those things occur as we've kind of outlined, then we'd be in that October 1st start. And that would allow us to finish the pipeline by the spring. If we miss this October deadline, then essentially because of some of the restrictions in the permits, we can't start construction until next summer. So I know that and I've talked with each of you, you hear from every applicant that it's really important that we take action quickly. In this particular case, the rationale for that action is really beneficial to not only us, but to the community and to the environment as well. Another thing I wanted to address tonight is an acknowledgement that we are not acting on abandonment and decommissioning of the existing Line 96 in the Marine Terminal today. That process will go through a separate application. It'll go through separate environmental review, and we are comfortable with that process and agreeing that is it's how it will go forward. Another comment, one of the comments that staff made is, and in the document, it talks about the significant impacts and being associated with an oil spill. And I think it's important to note that the worst case spill from the project, from the 8.5 mile line, is actually less than the worst case projected spill from just the existing Line 96, independent of the barge operations. Just that pipeline has the potential, if you use kind of the worst case spill criteria, of a spill almost 10 times what the new pipeline would have. So I think it's important to understand that independent of the barging, this pipeline has a much less of a maximum spill potential than what we currently have. Throughout this process, we've been able to work with staff from both the city and the county, and we've been able to address the concerns that have been raised. And for that reason, I can come before you this evening and say that we're willing to accept the permit as proposed, which I've been doing this for a while, and that is not always the case. So appreciate the work that staff has done, and I really sincerely mean that when I say it. So through that effort, through that work, we've been able to come up with a permit that we can accept as written. We've also met with a number of organizations and community members, and without exception, those community members and organizations have also said that regardless of their position on overall oil and gas operations and development and production, if you're going to transport oil, it should be through a pipeline. And so they have indicated a support for the project as well. So in closing, we I would urge you to take an action this evening of support to accept the staff recommendations, which will allow us to continue to the scheduled date of starting construction in early October and ending barge operations early next year. So I'm available for questions, and I thank you for your attention, and thank you for taking the time to come out and look at the facilities. So.
Thank you, Mr. Gregg. Mm-hmm. Let me turn this back to the Planning Commission then. Any questions of the applicant at this point in time? Any questions? Mr. Walls.
Chair Sheeler asked about the horizontal drilling. Mm-hmm. Once it started, it can't be stopped. And I believe it was said that that would take from 3 to 5 days. Mm-hmm. So that's 24-hour days.
Yes.
Can you give any comparison as to what kind of noise that's going to generate?
There's been noise studies done. That remember that the noise generating equipment will actually be on the north side of the freeway.
Yes.
So it will be in county property. So in terms of the city, the noise from that operation will be less than the noise from the freeway that is between that operation and city property. I don't have the decibel readings available to me. We're required to do a noise plan, a noise mitigation plan. So there'll be that will be prepared and submitted.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Commissioners, any other questions at this time? I think I might have a couple questions for Mr. Gregg. A pig launcher question. Mm-hmm. Is there a launcher and a receiver at each end of the pipeline?
No, there's a launcher at one end and a receiver at the other. So the pigs are transported by the most of the pigs, the cleaning pigs, are transported by the fluid that is in the pipeline. So it goes the direction of the flow of the pipeline.
And do the pigs ever get back to their destination, or are they only stranded at the other
end? No, we corral them up and bring them back in a truck. So yeah, they're brought back to the destination.
Okay, that's good. I was wondering how that was
by done. Transport.
My second question has to do with the vault mm-hmm. that will be outside the gate, the fence there, and talking about the maximum feasible distance from Bell mm-hmm. Creek, because I know that's some of an issue that
yes.
at your facility you have kind of a perimeter, secondary perimeter, which in case there's a spill would contain it secondarily. And from what I've read, there doesn't seem to be a plan for something like that. Is there any opportunity for a secondary perimeter barrier to be installed
around
the vault?
Actually, what we've been able to do is locate the proposed vault adjacent to the existing vault. So
right.
there is a vault right now that is for the existing pipeline. The new vault will be expansion of that vault because of the need for putting pigs in at that location. And it's a little over 65 feet away from the ESHA buffer, so we've moved it significantly further from the buffer. And from the buffer towards the vault is actually a downslope. So if there were a spill in the vault itself, mm-hmm. then and it were large enough to get outside of the vault, which in and of itself would be difficult. The vault is at least at one level contains the oil. It wouldn't flow that direction. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gregg. Any opportunity to ask him another question? Anybody? Questions? Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. We'll now open this up to the public. And I do have one speaker slip right now. Does anybody else want to submit a speaker slip in order to? We have two? Okay. There we go. Great. Thank you very much. We have two speaker slips. And any preference about who would like to go first here? Dr. Cox, would you like to start? Good evening.
Mr. Chair, members. The final EIR still needs to address some points. Line 96 and the EOF function, in my opinion, in a symbiotic relationship. For example, reinjection water will be injected in a disposal well located at the EOF. Tanks at the EOF will also be used in connection with Line 96. Consequently, the health hazards mentioned in my comments regarding the lymphoma cases should be taken into consideration and not just dismissed by stating that they pertain to the EOF and not to the project. Page 4.319 states that the revised baseline HRA shows a cancer risk above the historical estimates to the EOF. So in my opinion, a more thorough and more recent health analysis should be done. Horizontal directional drilling will be completed beneath Bell, Tecolote, Eagle, and Dos Pueblos Canyons. Frackouts are associated with HDD and are known to contain silica, petroleum products, and chemicals that are endocrine disruptors and or carcinogens. Information on all the hazardous components of any industrial chemicals is governed by OSHA since the 1974 Right to Know legislation. The public and emergency personnel need to know exactly what chemicals are going to be present, and all the MSDSs should be made available to the city of Goleta. In answer to my comments, it is stated that the project involves only the transportation of crude oil. This is not the case, as the proposed project will change the content of the crude oil by increasing the amount of NGLs in the mixture for the new proposed Line 96. In my opinion, when the amounts of the chemical constitutions of this oil is changed by adding more NGLs, there is an increase in hazards. The new vapor pressure for the proposed pipeline requires analysis of the new mixture regarding volatility. Also, exceeding in pressure may cause ruptures and possible explosions in the new line. Seismic upgrades and retrofitting have not been completed at the EOF, making the facility more susceptible to earthquake-induced damage. Why are we allowing a new addition to a facility that does not have this essential upgrade completed? The proposed project will result in abandonment of existing Line 96 between the EOF and the EMT, removing a hazardous liquid pipeline from a populated area. But the proposed Line 96 still can impact residences, specifically after it starts coming out from this area, going to the other side of the freeway. It will have 35 creek crossings, and a spill in the area still could reach the ocean, so in my opinion, significant hazards remain. Maximum spill volumes of 237 barrels, nearly 10,000 gallons, could be lost from the proposed pipeline as no secondary containment is present. Under what circumstances would this estimated spill volume happen? Why is there not secondary containment planned? The proposed pipeline would be monitored and operated from Venoco's EOF and could be remotely monitored and shut down from the Plains Pipeline Limited Partnership Central Control Facility in Houston. That computers fail is a given. So why is the shutdown in Houston and not in Goleta? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, may I ask Dr. Cox a couple of questions?
Of course.
Hi, Inga.
Hello.
Inga, I know that you do your homework.
Partially. But I try to do it.
You know, I know that you are aware that the environmental impact was certified by the county, mm-hmm. in fact, the County Planning Commission. Do you know if these issues that you have identified were first raised?
I did not raise them there because I was not aware that it was already being addressed at the county.
I'm shocked.
All right. Some other things happen.
Yeah, I think you were away. Thank you, Inga.
Sure.
Well, it was certified by the county, so.
That's correct. Okay, we have one more speaker this evening, and that would be Linda Kropp. Good evening.
Thank you, and good evening, Chair Sheeler, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Linda Kropp. I'm Chief Counsel of the Environmental Defense Center. And I'm here tonight representing Get Oil Out, Citizens Planning Association, Citizens of Goleta Valley, and Los Padres Sierra Club. Our clients have been working to eliminate barging since about 1993, and so you can imagine our pleasure that we are almost to the finish line. We did participate in the county's Planning Commission hearing and urge the county to approve the project, and I'm here to relay the same message to you. We believe that barging will eliminate a substantial risk of oil spills off of our coast, as well as reducing air pollution noxious odors and greenhouse gas emissions. And while the proposed project will result in some impacts, we believe that as much mitigation as is possible has been imposed, and we've been able to work with the county to achieve some additional mitigation. We were also able to work with the applicant to achieve some additional mitigation, both to reduce oil spill risks, but also to reduce some of the construction impacts to sensitive species and habitats and drainages. So we do feel that the project is ready to be approved. We agree with the applicant that timing is a consideration. We would like to see the barge stopped as soon as possible, so we'd like to get the pipeline in place. So we urge you to approve the project tonight, and following that, we urge you to follow up with the applicant to make sure that the decommissioning and abandonment of the existing pipeline proceeds in a timely manner as well. Sometimes, you know, you get the new pipeline in, you're all ecstatic, and then we've seen, especially over the years, with other projects throughout the county, that the actual decommissioning and abandonment can take a lot longer than people originally expected. And so I know your staff is really on that issue, and so we do hope to work with you on that issue as well to ensure the cleanup of the existing facilities that will no longer be used. So thank you again for participating in this exciting decision, and we urge you all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Staff? Sure, that would be great. I know a couple of questions were raised.
Thank you, Chairman. Again, Steve Gregg, Elwood Pipeline. I just want to take a couple seconds and respond to a couple of the comments from the public. First of all, the comment was made about the kind of the chemical nature of the drilling muds and the availability of MSDSs. We are absolutely willing and more than willing to provide those MSDSs to the city, so you can have those. We'll make sure those are available to you so you know what the chemicals are. In addition, just in terms of the frack out potential, we've done a geotechnical study, and from the results of that geotechnical study, it's given us a much better understanding of how to do those HDDs and minimize the potential for a frack out. And from that geotechnical study, in fact, we've increased the depth of the boring, 10 to 20 feet in some cases. So the other comment was made in terms of the different makeup of the oil. The NGLs will not be put into this, to the oil. That was part of the full field project. When full field was pulled, that was also eliminated from the proposed project. So the oil that's going into Line 96 now is the oil that will go into Line 96 when it goes to All American. Through the EIR process and one of the mitigations for additional valves, we were able to lower the maximum worst case spill from 255 barrels to 162 barrels. So that was looked at, and we agreed to a mitigation to reduce that further. And I think that was it, unless there's other questions from the commission. Thank you.
Mr. Gregg, I did have one question. Maybe you could, and this was brought up in one of the testimonies, talking about that there's the pipeline oversight remotely from another state. And is there any oversight or check on them in terms of them shutting down the pipeline when it may be done due to computer error or operator error, and so there's some sort of secondary?
The pipeline, the leak detection system, is a shut in and then kind of evaluate type of a system. So if there's a computer failure that would indicate to the system that the pipeline needs to shut in, the pipeline will shut in. Then we will evaluate that it was because of a computer failure. We'll go through the process of contacting the city and the county and the other agencies to turn it back on. So the leak detection is that it's set up in a way that if there's a problem, it fails on the side of protection. So did that answer the question?
Commissioner West.
Quick question related to that. Has there ever been an instance that you can think of where a manual override to that system you're talking about has been necessary?
By Elwood Pipeline or?
Or in the industry in general?
Yes.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
From my understanding, there was a pipeline up in a North County, and there was a leak that was identified there was a decision made to override, and it shut in the pipeline like it was supposed to shut it in. And there was a decision made by an operator on a platform to override the override that action, thinking it was a failure of the system, not a failure of the pipeline. So it has happened. Our system is set up in a way that when that type of failure occurs, we're required to get approval to turn it back on. So in the event that that were to occur to our pipeline, we have to contact the city and the county and different county agencies to get that approval. So.
Any further questions of the applicant or of staff, commissioners?
Chair Sheeler, I'd like to make a couple of clarifications.
Sure.
First, I'd just like to point out that, as Commissioner Wallace said, that the county did certify the EIR on August 3rd, but the permit that you have in front of you tonight does not include anything in the EOF, such as NGL blending or water injection. So if you read your staff report and the resolutions, that is not included within what you would be approving tonight. I also want to point out that our general plan supports the consolidation policy, so to end barging of oil and to move oil up to the Las Flores Canyon where this pipeline is taking the oil. So I think we're following the mission of what's lined out for us in our general plan. And then lastly, I just wanted to also address the issue of jurisdiction. So our jurisdiction ends at our city limits, which is actually, it's underground at this location where it pops up on the other side of Cayo Real. So not to trivialize the importance of this project and also the impacts that are related to it, but within the city of Goleta's jurisdiction, that 585 feet, the permits that are in front of you tonight solely address those portions within the city. And the Coastal Commission will follow up in September with their action. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I think we recognize that our scope is somewhat limited in this actual project description.
Chair Sheeler, if I may, I also have a couple clarifications. I'll try not to repeat anything that's already been said. I do want to point out, as I mentioned in my presentation, that one of our conditions of approval is to require a new quantitative risk assessment of any potential worst-case scenario of the spill for the portion of the pipeline in the city. Also, as Mr. Gregg was mentioning, we have a pretty elaborate system when the pipeline or operations at the EOF or EMT or whatever shut down. And this is through a committee that we are on with Santa Barbara County SSRC Systems Safety Reliability Review Committee. It's a condition required in the EOF's development plan, and we have a monitoring program that this committee comes through with. So as Mr. Gregg said, anytime anything happens there, if the pipeline shuts in, they have to get approval from the city, county, and SSRC before restarting. And also the shutdown and restart and the operations occur both at the EOF and in Houston, or they can occur in both locations. And also, we are requiring in our conditions a modification to their existing safety plans. And the county has indicated at their Planning Commission hearing, and we're going to make sure we do this through the SSRC process, that the restart upon shutdown procedures are very clearly written, so manual overrides and mistakes from them are much, much less likely to occur. Thank you.
If I might ask a follow-up on that, will the people in Houston understand the protocols here in Goleta in the County of Santa Barbara in terms of this committee needing to meet regarding a restart versus them and restarting it on their own? Are they aware what the procedure is here? Because they're probably monitoring multiple pipelines at their facility and need to know what the individual protocols are in each location.
I'll refer to Mr. Gregg for that.
Yeah, thank you. They can shut it down in Houston, but they can't start it up.
Okay.
So it's a one-way operation for them. They can shut it in, but only we can start it.
Okay. I did have one more question. This has to do with habitat restoration, if necessary, and just wondering what there will be in place to ensure that any habitat restoration will actually be done with native habitat restoration. I do note that there are instances regarding Bell Creek and the Valley Forge Haskell's Beach where native restoration wasn't necessarily achieved, where certain things were installed that weren't, as it turned out to be, native habitat, and what the city has in mind to make sure that those errors won't occur in the future.
Chair Sheila, we have a very detailed condition of approval for the habitat restoration plan if it's deemed necessary, and that includes measures for seed collection, where those seeds can come from. The goal is that they come from the watershed that is affected. If that's not possible, we limit it to the extent of the South Coast. And I think that condition is nearly a page long. We've always taken our biological mitigation measures very seriously, and we have some pretty detailed requirements for restoration plans.
Thank you. Any more questions or any? Okay, I will then close the public hearing, and that actually brings it back to the Planning Commission for deliberations. Would anybody like to start us off? Does anybody have anything to deliberate upon at this point? Mr. Walls?
Yeah. You know, I support this project. I don't want to leave any doubt about that. But the decision for me wasn't particularly easy. I just wanted to say that the staff report really helped me with the issues where I began to stumble. And I wanted to say that I understand the role of the county was huge. As we know, only 585 feet of an 8.5-mile pipeline is in our city, and it was the county who certified. And I'm really happy that one of our citizens, Cecilia Brown, is a member of the County Planning Commission, because she certainly knows Goleta policy and Goleta issues. But when we get down to things, I think the commission and each commissioner has to exercise independent judgment in making the findings. So there are a few things I would like to say, Mr. Chair, if that's all right.
Of course.
I had some trouble with the consistency argument, but now I do believe that the project is consistent. The intent, as stated in the general plan, is that oil and gas processing shall be terminated at the Elwood onshore facility because that use is nonconforming on property, as has been stated, that is designated for open space and active rec. Nothing about this project that I can see changes that policy. Nothing extends the life of the EOF facility. The control and communications modifications relate only to safety. Without the new pipeline, the plant would continue to operate. The goal of terminating the oil processing here is a long-term one, and that's why the plan addresses the circumstances and standards for modifications or alterations that may be authorized before termination of the processing takes place. These modifications or alterations must relate to certain things: improving air quality, reducing environmental impacts and hazards, and improving safety for nearby lodging, recreation, and residential uses. Here, the pipeline does away with transporting oil by barging. I think this is a big safety improvement for all of our county, including Goleta. In fact, the general plan specifically supports the South Coast Consolidation Plan and specifically supports the cessation of transport of oil by barge or tankering. Further, this pipeline will be of new materials and use state-of-the-art technology and equipment to avoid spills, but to detect them early if they occur. Our own history in Santa Barbara, Goleta, as well as the more recent spills in the Gulf, for example, show that on-land spills still horrible, can be better managed if they occur on land rather than in the ocean or seas. You know, I can't help myself. I have to say that the language here is a little descriptive of a pagan rite in speaking of things like pig launchers and smart pigs and pig receivers and passive sacrificial systems. But the serious part of it is that there are many things that are incorporated in the pipeline that will improve safety. The second area where I had some trouble is the overriding is that there are unavoidable significant environmental impacts that require a statement of overriding considerations if the pipeline project goes forward. The four Class 1 impacts were indicated by Laura, and the hazard and hazardous materials, hydrology, water resources and water quality, biological resources, and land use planning and recreation. I think the point is that while it is true that these impacts cannot be eliminated by other alternatives, conditions, or mitigations, the pipeline project provides the potential for these horrible projects, for these horrible impacts, although they remain, to be decreased in several ways, that the event of a spill is decreased, early detection is increased, and our ability to deal with a spill, should it occur, is decreased. So for these and other reasons that the staff report clearly articulates, I'm in favor of our approval of this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wall. Would anybody else like to? Commissioner Stapleman.
I'd just like to thank the planning department for really an excellent job. I mean, this is, reading through it can be a little tough because it's really discussing things that in my line of work I don't see, and it really was you have to wrap your head around, you know, all of this. And I want to thank everyone, especially Laura, for, you know, doing a really good job. I am very impressed with the way that you have worked with the applicant. Also, I mean, our environment is so important to us. I mean, not just here, but around the world. And to see, you know, two distinct groups get together and say, look, we've got to make it as safe as possible. We want to make it really work within the laws and safety regulations and stipulations that we have in place. And I'm just delighted to see that happen. Also, to see the Environmental Defense Center here is awesome. And if we could do more things like this, looking at our energy needs, not putting our heads in the sand and thinking, you know, it's not there. We do need all of this. We also need those safety precautions and measures to be there, the watchdogs, so that whatever we're doing, we have some handle on how to mitigate any kind of accidents. So I am definitely in favor of this. I'm happy to see the barge go away, and want to thank everyone for their hard work.
Thank you, Commissioner Stapleman. Commissioner West.
Thank you. So I am definitely in favor of adopting this resolution and eliminating barging on the coast here. I agree with all of Commissioner Wallace's comments about mitigation and the larger picture. And I think when looking at the larger picture, which we're not supposed to be actually looking at, this is a case of perfection being the enemy of the good. And in the perfect world, some of the problems that Dr. Cox addressed with health and safety, all these things are important, especially when it comes to potentially hazardous things like drilling for oil. Lots of awful things could happen no matter how you look at it. In the perfect world, we wouldn't have to do that and people wouldn't use oil, but we don't live in that world. And the good alternative is, I believe, this resolution, which cuts down on significant risks for marine life and significant risks that have been outlined by the Environmental Defense Center. So I agree with adopting the resolution.
Thank you, Commissioner West. And I'll just close by saying I agree with all the comments of my other commissioners. I think this is a model of cooperation and collaboration with Benico and with the County of Santa Barbara, with the public, and with the City of Goleta. So I really want to just appreciate and thank everybody for their work on this. This is really turning out to be a good outcome. I know it's taken a while to get to this point, and maybe this will be a harbinger of other things that we can accomplish here in the future. So would somebody like to make a motion and bring this to closure this evening?
Yes, I'll make the motion to accept 09-088-DP-CUP, Elwood Pipeline, Inc., Line 96 Modification Project, U.S. Highway 101 right-of-way, Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way, Hollister Avenue right-of-way, 7925 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-059, and 7979 Hollister Avenue, APN number 079-210-042.
And commissioners, you'll have to take each of the resolutions individually, each action. Number one will be the first action. Number two will be the second action. And you need to do that for CEQA purposes. You need to make your CEQA decision before you decide on the project.
So the resolution, that the recommendation that Commissioner Stapleman just read out, is that only inclusive of number one?
Well, actually, that was the title. So we're going to need a motion on number one, and the motion will need to read out that resolution.
Okay. Would you like us to read that, or would that be something that the clerk would want to do? Does anybody?
The clerk can read them out.
Would you be willing to do that? Recommendation number one.
Motion for the first one and the second?
Yeah.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Commissioner Stapleman and a second by Commissioner West for the recommendation number one.
Okay. This is a recommendation. We have a motion and second to adopt Planning Commission Resolution 11-next-in-line number entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, considering the final environmental impact report, SCH number 2009-111034, for the Elwood Pipeline Company Line 96 Modification Project, and adopting findings, a mitigation monitoring program, and a statement of overriding considerations for the Elwood Pipeline Company Line 96 Modification Project, case number 09-088-DP-CUP, U.S. Highway 101 right-of-way, Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way, Hollister Avenue right-of-way, located at 7925 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-059, and 7979 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-042.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Any final discussion? Okay, we'll now call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. And we have another recommendation, which is number two. Would somebody like to make a motion?
Move to accept.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Stapleman. Is there a second to this motion?
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner West. Madam Clerk, could you please read number two?
Yes.
To the record.
Item number two is for adoption, Planning Commission Resolution 11-next-in-line number entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, approving a development plan and major conditional use permit for the Elwood Pipeline Company Line 96 Modification Project, case number 09-088-DP-CUP, located Highway U.S. Highway 101 right-of-way, Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way, Hollister Avenue right-of-way, 7925 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-059 and 7979 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-042.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Any further discussion? We will call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very
much. Thank you. We have just a little bit of more business to complete here. So we have a director's report, and I'll turn this over to Ms. Wells.
There's no director report tonight, thanks.
Director's report. Okay. Planning commissioners, any comments this evening?
Nope.
Any planning commission comments? No comments. So we're at E, which would be adjournment. Could I have a motion for adjournment?
I'd like to make the motion for adjournment and simultaneously say I think that we were very, very good at doing our work this evening.
Thank you. A second for adjournment.
I second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. We're now adjourned. I believe our next Planning Commission meeting might be Monday, September 12, 2011, but please stay tuned.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, Galita.
Good evening.